Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I feel like I've been going through like a lot of stress lately. It's kind of weird in this year, right? Yeah. But like even more so than normal. And you know, I was talking to my wife, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I need to go to that work day. God wants me there. It's like, but I just don't feel like doing it. So the thing is I went there, and then all that stress, all that anxiety, it went away. And it's very easy to miss an opportunity like that if we either let the enemy convince us that what we're going to do is better, if it's going to make us happy for a moment, or we can miss that opportunity because we're not looking at what God's doing in our life, strengthening us. Because it's in those moments where we, even though it's a little thing to go to work day, in those moments where our flesh is battling against us, in those moments, we got to be led by the Spirit. And it'll produce something in you, a strength of an ability to endurance hardship that you couldn't ever imagine. And even small things like that. And just know that, you know, I was talking about workday earlier. It's in my heart to share that kind of thing. To share the ministry minute. Not because we're looking for people to do work. Not because we're looking for volunteers. It's because we're looking for people to fulfill their role in the body of Christ. It is so life-changing once you find whatever your ministry is. And it doesn't have to be in this church. It could be you doing something outside of here. But you, there is something. How many believers do we have in here? Yeah? Every one of you has the Holy Spirit. Every one of you is gifted. Every one of you has a ministry. So let me just leave you with this. This is Galatians 6, 9 and 10. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, if you ever have that moment where you feel like you don't want to do something, but you feel like God's leading you to do it, I guarantee you, if you do it, you're going to get peace. You're going to be restored. You're going to be renewed, refreshed. So please, just follow the Spirit.
A couple days ago, I was just thanking and praising God, praying to Him, and He spoke to me, Jesus did, and or the Holy Spirit, and He just said He's preparing His people for the kingdom realm. Sorry about that. So, these are the words that He gave to me. Said, I have established my word from before the foundation of this world. This is the time for repentance. For judgment begins in my house. So surrender to me so you can walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Choose life. Says, choose life. Choose life from the bonds of servitude to the evil one by not allowing darkness into your life. In all areas of your life. Learn to hate sin as I hate sin. No man can handle sin by themselves. Only light my light can break the chains of darkness. Many have made me their savior. However, many have chosen me not to be their Lord. So this is the hour not to play religion. For I abhor religion, for it is the form of godliness, but denies the power thereof, of my spirit. And that I've given you freely, my spirit, at a great cost. Return to your first love. I am he who was, and I am he who is. I am he who will be on the throne forever. I am the only righteous and just judge of all the people and nations. I ask you, do you know me? Let this be declared to all people and nations that I love you, each and every one, and everything in my creation. I came to reconcile you and all nations back to my Father. For there is no sinful life that is greater than the blood that I sacrifice for all people. My way to the Father is easy, by way of the cross. I have defeated the enemy and have given my children all authority. So take up your cross and speak the words of life to one and all. As I reveal these truths to you, I sit on the throne. Love me, worship me, trust me, and love others, even your enemies, as I have done, even upon the cross. So that's what God gave to me.
I just want to share something that I feel like the Lord has spoken to me about this week. Things that I've been reading, and I just feel like he wants me to share it right now. And there's a scripture that says that the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. We know that the spirit of God is contrary to the spirit that's in the world. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the darkness. We know that God is of the light and the enemy is the darkness. And we know that when the light comes, it sheds light on the darkness and it pushes the darkness back.
Yes. No,
but I feel like God is saying, do you really desire true intimacy with me?
Thank you.
I feel like sometimes we think of God as like somebody that we can just come to whenever we need something. And I feel like he's saying, don't just come when you need something, because I want an intimate relationship with you.
Come on.
Think about your relationship with your spouse. You don't just go to your spouse and be like, honey, I need $20, and then just go about your way. There's a true intimacy with the Lord that he is desiring, but he is not going to push it upon you. He's waiting for you to make that first move.
Thank you, Lord.
He's saying, come to me and draw near to me, and I will draw near to you.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
It's not about convenience. I think throughout Scripture, the Lord has made it very evident that Christianity is not meant to be convenient. If it was, there'd be no sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
There'd be no sacrifice on our part. You know, there's really been this pressing, this strong push. And if you have not listened to any of the messages on the website, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some of those. Because I've gone back and I've listened to some, and I've started going through some that were even way back. And you know, sometimes the message, if you start listening to those old messages, you'll see that there's something that God's just really pushing on. And as I listened to some of those messages, it was something that just began to rise up inside of me that was like, you know, He's speaking and he's speaking, and it's like sometimes it just kind of goes right past us. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes, I'll give it to you again. And I'll speak it to you again. And I'll keep giving it to you until it just begins to shoot forth within
you. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
See, the importance of the Holy Spirit, it's like a key to a door that you need to unlock. If you don't have that key, it's really hard to open that door. But that's the thing, is when you allow the Holy Spirit to do some things in your life,
yes,
when you allow Him to move in your life freely,
yes,
you begin to see that many, many doors become unlocked. And then there's this thing that happens within you that is revelation within your life.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And I know we've talked about it before, but that revelation in your life is important because it directs your steps.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
When, as we're singing this song, it's just such a powerful thing to know that we have that key inside of us all the time.
Yes.
It's always there. When he died upon the cross, he came back, but he only came back for a short while, and it was to prepare, and then he left, and he gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And from there, his will was always that you'd walk according to what it says to you. It was always that you didn't do it on your own, or that he was leaving you, but that he was with you, and he was with you always.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And that's the thing, is that there's things in our lives that will be struggles. There's things in our lives that will be difficult. There's things in our lives that will build frustration. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to move within those moments, we'll begin to see things happen in our lives that we never could have dreamt would have happened
before. Come on.
We'll begin to see the promises that are in the Bible that he's given us come to life within our life.
Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was telling my dad, and the only other people I told was the worship team this week, but I was telling my dad that most of you guys know that my daughter was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And I told him that one of the really scary things to me was that I felt like God kind of talked to me about it 2 weeks before it happened. And
yes,
it was while I was reading the Bible, and I was reading about Abraham and Sarah, and it was a story I've read a million times. So to me, it didn't really, you know, there didn't really seem much different about it, except for that when Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac, there was a part that really spoke to me, and it was, sorry if I fall apart a little, but it was that he didn't stop Abraham until he was actually about to kill his son. And it's because of the obedience.
Yes.
He wanted to see that Abraham would be obedient and that he'd stand upon the promise God had given him. And the promise he gave him was that child.
Yes.
He promised him that child. And you know, Abraham knew so well, he knew God so well, that he was like, you want me to give him to you? I'll give him to you. But I know that you promised me him.
Yes.
And that really spoke to me. But in that moment, I was telling my parents that I felt it. I felt him say, what if it was your child? And it did. It scared me. It scared me to the point where I didn't even talk to my parents about this until after everything happened. Because the human mind races, right? And so many things came to mind. I don't want my kids sick. I don't want something wrong with my kids. I don't want my kids to get hurt. I don't want them to be taken from me. I don't want... Those are all the thoughts that go, right? So I began to pray, and I did. I prayed like crazy. God, whatever you're doing, whatever you're speaking about, whatever you're saying right now, please protect my kids. But I trust you.
Thank you, Lord.
And when Lonnie went into the hospital, man, one of the scariest things, let me tell you, I told my dad, I cried. And it wasn't just a normal cry. It was a groaning.
Yeah.
And I told him, I cried so hard that it wasn't controllable and it wasn't even, you know, I could feel it in my spirit. I knew it wasn't for fear of her or God just save her life. I knew what it was. I could feel it.
Was Hallelujah.
Me depending on the promise. I could feel it in my spirit, and it wasn't words. It wasn't anything I was saying. It was just a crying out.
Come on,
and I could feel within it this cry for, you promised that by your stripes we have been healed. You promised that no weapon formed against me would prosper. You promised that all things are possible. So regardless of what's happening, I believe it. And I just let it happen. I just cried. And I told my dad, it was just so amazing to me. It really was. But it wasn't me.
Come on.
It wasn't me praying for my daughter. It wasn't me praying over the situation.
Hallelujah.
It was the Holy Spirit. And he was intervening on my behalf.
Oh, God.
And that's the thing. That's what we have to grasp, is we have to learn to allow him to intervene for us sometimes.
Yes,
we don't always know what to say. We don't always know what to do.
Lord.
We don't always know what the next steps are. But if we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to be what intervenes for us, we become way more powerful, because now we're in a position where we've surrendered it all and we've allowed the Holy Spirit to take place. You lead. You tell me where I go. I'm going to be obedient to what you say. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do, because you are in front of me. We have to learn it. We have to learn to allow him to do it, because when we begin to allow this thing to happen in our life is when we're going to begin to see change in this world. When we're going to begin to have not just church every Sunday, but life-changing moments, because it's appointed times for people in this city. It's something to be excited about. Allow the Holy Spirit to just go before you. Because every single thing he's poured into your life, he's going to bring it forth in the right moments. All you have to do is go after him. All you have to do is trust him.
When I was a younger man, I spent some time in Philadelphia in a commune with, Christian commune, just to clarify, with a friend of mine. And I was very young in the Lord, and I was like a sponge. The things of God were new to me, but I was like a sponge. And we went throughout the city looking for different churches that were spirit-filled. And we ran into a church one night at a meeting, and there must have been more than 1,000 people on the same level. And the worship leader up front had led them into a spontaneous, spirit-led worship where everybody in the building was raising their hands and worshiping and speaking in tongues. And I had never heard that before. I didn't know what it was. But I knew that these people were worshiping. I got in the center of that, and I was, even though I didn't know what it was, I allowed the Spirit of God to come into me and to join in with what these people were doing. I remember doing that for 15, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know how long it was. It was so long, I had the most glorious experience I've ever had in my life. And at church, I got to tell you, I'm still chasing that one experience that I had that night. Because I know that it's going to happen again. I know that it's going to happen again. I believe this is the time. As we see things coming at us, we're going to rise up and surrender to the Spirit of God and allow Him to do what He needs to do inside of us to become the men and women of God that He's called us to be. This is the time. Surrender. Surrender. Surrender to the Spirit. Allow Him to do the work.
Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody stopped me one day and said, man, you speak in tongues a lot up there, man. And he goes, I don't hear you interpreting. I said, hey, the message God gives me is the interpretation. Come on, man. That's what I believe. I believe God speaks. Thank you guys for everyone that ministered to the body of Christ this morning. I want you to know that I believe that God is doing a different work. Amen. How many know it's a new work? How many believe that God is doing a new work? He's opening things. He's opening mysteries that have been hid from the foundation of the world, and those mysteries are discovered by spending time in the presence of God, by spending time, your own time, looking at His Word and listening for His voice. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Concerning my granddaughter, I just keep praying for my granddaughter. We are speaking that as quickly as it came. We were told that it came on quicker than is normal. Is that right? We were told that all of a sudden the symptoms she experienced should have taken over a couple of weeks, and she got it one day, from the morning throwing up to that evening, we're almost in a diabetic coma. And so we believe that as quickly as it came, it's leaving. It's got to leave. Because it's not part of the kingdom of God. You see, we are part of the kingdom of God. And when things like that happen, like my daughter just got through, I will say this. I will say to the Lord, I said, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. But I do know this, that prayer in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, will do something that nothing else will. Amen? Hallelujah. What happened with my daughter, that deep crying, those are those groanings that Paul talked about, the groanings of the Spirit within you. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, those are the most powerful prayers that come out of your being. Hallelujah. Where you've got no idea. Hallelujah. Yet it's the Holy Ghost taking over, taking control. How many know it's time that the Holy Spirit takes control? How many believe that? I believe that it's time. It's time, it's time, it's time. We as men and women, we messed it up already. Isn't that right? God, we kind of, you know, God, man has messed it up. Lord, will You take control now, God? Go ahead and have Your way, Father. How many say amen? Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Flood this place, not just this place. Flood the earth. Amen. Cover the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about what God's doing. I believe we're in the right time, the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. God has purposed you from the foundation of the world. He knew you would be 2020. He knew it. He knows it. He's got purpose and plan for you. So praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Appreciate you guys. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, es la ley. Look at your neighbor. Say it, I mean. And then look at the one on the other side, say, es la ley. Yeah, praise God. It's the law. Praise God. Our message today is something that kind of goes along with what we talked about a week before. Did I preach last week? No, I think Pastor John did, huh?
I'm forgettable.
I don't know. I don't know. But I do want to thank everybody that came out yesterday. It was just a joy to see folks just having fun, moving around and doing things for, you know, back in the back. I'll tell you, it's dirty back there. It's nasty and everything. But folks, you should have seen Denise. She was white from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, man. Hallelujah. Appreciate all of you that came, and thank God for men and women of God. Thank God for all of you that come this morning. Amen? Yeah. So I'm glad you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the law. Es la ley. Everybody say it again. Es la ley. If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Glory to God. Glory to God. The power verse for today is Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. And the power verse says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Kind of a crazy statement, but it's got a lot when you think about it. We're going to talk about this. "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak your words into our hearts. Lord, give me utterance. Open a door of utterance that I might speak as I ought to speak to your people. That your heart would be revealed into the lives of individuals, Father God, your children. This morning, Father, Holy Spirit, do what you do. Just do what you do. Quicken. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. It's la ley. Everybody say la ley. It's the law. Amen. Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 12. The word of God says, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And he put forth his hand and touched him, literally touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame about him, abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Amen. It's hard to get a healing like if you had leprosy and just not say nothing to anybody. Is that right? Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody." What? Are you kidding me? I got to tell somebody. Remember that song? There was an old song. He said, "I got to tell somebody." He told him, "Don't say anything." But man, he had people looking, "Hey, man, isn't that Joe? The leper? What's he doing? He's not supposed to be here. He's been healed. Hey, Joe, what's going on? What are you doing here? Get away, bro. Get away." Right? He said, "Hey, Jesus healed me." The Bible says his fame went out. Is that right? So much so that people were bringing folks to him so that they might be healed. And Jesus told the man, he goes, go and show yourself to the priest and offer a sacrifice according to the law of Moses, he was telling him. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, let's look at this. So then the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, where's pastor? Oh, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, "Unclean, unclean," all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall his habitation be. The word of God is saying that he was to separate himself, get outside the camp, couldn't be around people. Amen. I mean, then he said that he would put a cover on his upper lip. Does it look familiar to you? Back then, social distancing. I'm going to take it off because I can't hear. Social distancing. You got to get him away, man. You know what? He can't be around us. But like it was back then, the same today, there is an answer. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for all that we're going through. He's the answer. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have any problem with leprosy, did he? I mean, he didn't show anything. He said, man, you know, yeah, I will. And he touched him. Amen? He says, man, yeah. You want to be healed? Yeah. You got leprosy? Yeah. It's okay. And he healed him. The Bible says he cleansed him. Amen? Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 8. And I know Jesus knew this verse. It says this, take heed. Be careful. Is that right? Take heed. In the plague of leprosy, that you observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so shall you observe to do. Isn't it funny how where God would send a leper? He wouldn't send him to a doctor. They had physicians back there. Did you know that? They did have folks that would look at you. But the word of God says, I don't want you to go to a physician. I want you to go to a priest. I want you to hear what I have said. I will direct them. I will lead them to speak to you. Go see a priest. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn, if you will, to chapter 17 of Luke. Luke 17. I love this. Man, I love this story right here. How many love the Word of God? Anybody here love the Word of God? I don't see any hands. I see one hand. Yeah, there we go. I know. Yeah, there's a few. Some folks love the Word of God. Luke 17. We're going to start at verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Isn't that cool? Go show yourselves to the priest. I'm thinking maybe they, what? Go show yourselves to the priest. Because I think they might have been expecting to get healed right then. But he said, no, go show yourselves to the priest. So they might have been thinking, yeah, he don't want us around. Isn't that right? We asked him, but hey, he wants us to go away. Man, and that's not the case, is it? Because he says, the Word of God says that, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. One guy out of 10. One guy out of 10. All 10 were healed. One guy turned around to give praise to the Lord. Amen? I wonder if that could be kind of the ratio of the church today. One out of 10 will worship me. One out of 10 will give me time. One out of 10 will come to me to listen for what I've got to say. One out of, are you one? Are you a one out of 10? Are you? Is your heart set on the Lord for everything that he has for you? Is your heart placed where, say, God, you just got to show me. Just show me what you want. One out of 10. Well, he worships the Lord, falls on his face, and he worships the Lord. And Jesus answering said, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And I love this. I love this part where Jesus tell him, stand up. And he says something to him. And what I'm trying, sometimes what I'm thinking, I go, I wonder what's going on in the people that are around him. Because you know, he had people around him. He had disciples around him. He had people that were following him around. And you know, and for him to be dealing with a leper, 10 of them, no less. I'm sure his disciples are going, well, okay, we're going to see it again. We're going to see what God, what he's going to do. And they all go off. One of them comes running back and falls before the Lord. Well, let's call him Sam. Well, can we call him Sam? He was a Samaritan, so we'll call him Sam. Or we can call him Sammy. Sammy comes and he runs and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is looking ten. What Sam did was a place of positional where his heart was saying, man, I'm so thankful. Thankful. How many are thankful today? I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. Amen. Are you thankful? Are you? Is your heart saying, God, I am thankful. Hallelujah. For all that you've done for me. Can I tell you, even in the midst of when my granddaughter is going, what she's going through, I am still thankful for what God has done and what he's doing. He has been so, so good to me. So good to me. Hallelujah. But I'm sure the people that were looking, they were looking at him and Jesus told that man, he goes, rise up. And then he says this, go your way. He didn't tell him, okay, go to the priests again. He just said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. You see, I think that his disciples are saying, what? Did you hear what he told them? Yeah. He needs to go to the priest. How many of you like murmurers? How many of you like those people that talk? Well, you know, he needs to go to the priest. Maybe a couple of other ones, they're looking, he goes, hey, now that's something new. He told them just to go on his way. He didn't tell them to Jesus be a lawbreaker? Could Jesus be a lawbreaker? I don't think so. The word of God says that Jesus fulfilled the law. Is that right? What happened with this leper, what he didn't realize, hallelujah. Oh boy, I don't know if I gave you this scripture. What he didn't realize, can you give me Hebrews 3:1? What he didn't realize, Jesus told him, go show yourself to the priest. But what he didn't realize, this leper, he turned around. Verse 1 says, wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and what? High priest of our profession. What he did was he turned around and he ran and fell at the feet of the high priest. Hallelujah. Oh, I think it's in Hebrews 2, but I got to find another one for you. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I didn't put these down. Let me look. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Can you put that up? Hallelujah. Oh, look at this scripture. You got to look at this scripture. Hallelujah. Consider the high priest of our profession. Hallelujah. Jesus. Verse 14 of chapter 4 in Hebrews, it says, seeing then that we have a great what? A great high priest. Amen? Hallelujah. That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We have a great high priest, not just a high priest. We've got a great high priest. Amen? Hallelujah. And can I say something? You know, the word of God says that he ever lives to make intercession for you. Is that correct? Hallelujah. So guess what? The scriptures tell him that he comes to live and dwell within you. So if he's inside of you, hallelujah, he says, let me pray. Come on, man. Yeah, you guys aren't getting it, are you? That's okay. It's all right. That's a good word for you. Let me pray. Let me intercede for you. Hallelujah. And God begins to intercede for you. See, he's a great high priest of our profession, what we say. Amen. This is a man that leper went before, and the result was different. Amen? The result was new. It didn't happen back then. See, Jesus was showing us a whole new way of working, a whole new set of circumstances for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's a new thing, he said. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bringing us into a new thing. Amen? Everybody say new thing. You guys like new things? Yeah, I mean, new cars, new washer, new dryer. Amen? How many like old food? No, man. Come on, man. Fresh food. How many? Subway says, eat fresh. Yeah, man. New things. God says, hey, man, I'm going to bring you into a new thing. Isaiah 42. I don't know. You know, the Lord gave me this last night and seems to be interrupting me. I'm just kidding. Praise God. I just get into these scriptures. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, look at this. Isaiah 42, I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. How many got breath? Hallelujah. How many got spirit? Come on, man. We're talking about God here. He says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. He's talking about Jesus here, so you know, and he's also talking about us. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, a light for the Gentiles. Amen? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, to the lepers. The 10 lepers are standing outside the city. There's 10 of them out there, man. And we'd like to go around them or try, hey, you guys got to get out of the way. We're coming through. No. Jesus came to release them. Amen? Hallelujah. Did he do that? Oh, he did. Verse 8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Verse 9 says this, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. See, God was declaring a new thing. Jesus was declaring a new thing when he told him, go your way. He was declaring it. Sometimes those things are easy to pass up when you're reading. Oh, he just told him, go. And sometimes we don't even think about it, but he was declaring a new thing. It was never done that way before. Before that, every one of those lepers, if they felt like they were healed, they had to go see a priest. Come on. Hallelujah. He says, before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. And I've got one more scripture here too. Isaiah 43. See, the Bible says by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. Is that right? See, God has created a new thing. But sometimes we get stuck in the old. How many of you ever been stuck in the old? You ever been stuck in the old? Come on, man. What if God wants to remove filter from you? A filter that you've been looking at things in a certain way, and that filter affects every way, everything that you look at. What if he wants to remove that filter so you can see what he's trying to do in your life? Is that okay? Would you say, yeah, God, let's do that. God, you remove a filter. Lord, take them all out. Hallelujah. Because I will tell you, what he has for us can be overwhelming. Can I say that to you? It can be so overwhelming that what he has for us, he has to show it to us here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. That's how he'll show you these things. Because what he has for you, if he would have told me back when I was youth pastoring, you're gonna have that bowling alley down there, and you're going to be the pastor of that church. If he would have told me that, I said, I'm out of here. I ain't going to do that. I wasn't ready for it. I don't know if I'm ready yet. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He does what he does. Did you get Isaiah 43:18? Sorry. He says right here, remember not the former thing. We'll go to 19 too. Remember not the former things, neither consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Come on. Amen? How many know he's doing new things? He's got new things for you. There's two witnesses right there saying, hey, there's new. These things are new. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. The Bible says here, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit. I'm sorry, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many know that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? How many know that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free of the law of sin and death. Paul the Apostle is talking about two laws here. Law number one, law of sin and death. Law number two, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Why would he say there's no condemnation to you? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This is what it says. 5:21 says this, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And then he says, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know this? Can I tell you, do you know this for sure? That you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. He took your sin upon him and paid for it so that you might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? That is the greatest deal. How many say amen to that? Yeah. It's kind of a feeble amen, but that we'll take it. I mean, how many of you know that's the greatest deal that he would exchange with you? His righteousness to go upon you so that you could stand before him without any blemish. Can you say amen to that? Without any fault? Can you, without anything that can separate you from him? Woo, hallelujah. Jesus did it. He even paid for those things that are within you that you're still playing with. Ooh, come on, man. Now I'm going to dig in you a little bit. Because we still play in a few things. Is that right? Well, you know, yeah, nobody knows. Hey, man, I can think that way. I can talk that way. And I can think that about that person. No, you can't. Jesus knows about it. And he paid for it. He paid for it to be released so the righteousness of his son can come upon you. Isn't that sweet? That's a deal and a half, man. That's a deal. Hallelujah. He wants to show you the mysteries of his kingdom. He's desiring to show you the things that he has for you. The mysteries he wants to show to you might be different than what he's trying to show me. But yet he's got things he wants you to see and he wants you to understand. Is that okay? Say amen. Yeah, Lord, show me those things. I think it's in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told his disciples, because they asked him, he goes, hey, why? He had just got through doing the parable of the sower. And he goes, why do you speak like that? Why do you talk in parables? And Jesus told them this, it's something like this. He said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are outside there that don't get it, it's not been given. So Jesus was revealing something that God wants us to know, the mysteries that he's given us. Amen. Hallelujah. The first mystery that I come across was that he loved me. That was a mystery to me. Come on. I had a friend, his name was Lee Sines. He goes, hey man, you know that Jesus loves you? Yeah, whatever, man. I'm a Catholic. He goes, no, man, Jesus really loves you. Okay, all right. But at lunchtime at work, I'd come in, a bunch of us would make fun of him because he would sit in the corner. He had his Bible out, he'd be eating, and he'd be crying, reading his Bible. We'd kind of make fun of him, look at him, he'd cry baby, Bible thumper. Cry baby, you know. But there was something within me saying, what is that? There's something different about that guy. There's something really different. And he heard us making fun of him. He didn't care. He knew who he was in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. How many don't care? I don't care what people say about me. Is that right? Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. What matters is what he says about me. Amen? That's what matters to you. Hallelujah. The second, and there was another thing. that he revealed a mystery to me, which is working at the mine. A lot of you have heard this, but it's good to go over these things because it's a testimony. But while I was at work, I was before I got saved, I was kind of a, you don't need to know, huh? Praise God, man. I had sticky fingers. I had also, I drank a lot. You don't need to know all those details. But I got saved. At work, my pastor led me to the Lord in electrical at work, and actually became my pastor. But it was one afternoon we were leaving work, and we used to gather out behind the maintenance shop, and it's a big shop, and wait for the whistle to blow so that we could go on down the stairs and go home. But we're all standing out there, and we're all talking. There's a bunch of little groups of guys that are talking. And a good friend of mine, his name was Armando Mahalka. We're in a little group talking. And then he starts saying, "Hey, Henry, do you remember you used to drink, you used to smoke, you used to do..." And he nailed and he laid them out. Because you used to steal, you used to cuss. And he laid out all my sins right in front of everybody. It was a tremendous time. I really enjoyed it. I looked at him. He goes, "Hey, you were a little devil." And I'm looking at him, and he goes, "But now you think you're an angel." And, oh, boy, I got really upset. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying under my breath, "God, give me a scripture. Give me a scripture. God, give me a scripture so I can cut this guy in half. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will divide and it will cut." And I said, "God, give me a scripture." And God gave me a scripture. It's in James. He said, "The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." He gave me a scripture, but it wasn't for Mondo. It was for me. I go, "What? What?" "Oh, thanks, God." That's just, the whistle blew, and we all took off. I didn't say anything to Mondo. I wanted to. It was a Wednesday night, and Wednesday is when we would go to church at First Assembly. And so all the way home, I'm saying, "Thanks a lot, God. You really backed me up here?" "Yeah, thanks, God." And I got home. Rosie was still at work, and I pulled in, and I said, "You know what? I'm not going to church tonight. I'm not going to, you know." So I laid down on the couch, and while I was laying there, the phone rang. I woke up, and right when I woke up, I heard these words, "And such were some of you." And I thought about that. I want to show you this. I just want to show you this. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Here the scriptures say, you got verse 11. Just give me verse 11 for right now. The word said, "And such were some of you." Okay, you can shut that off. "And such were some of you." That's what I heard. I got up and I heard that. And I said, "Okay." So I went and answered the phone. And guess who it was? My pastor. And I said, "Hello." He goes, "Henry, I really need to talk to you tonight. What time are you going to get here to church?" I felt like saying, "I'm not going. I'm mad at God." Okay. Felt like saying it, but I said, "You know what?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be there, pastor." "Okay. All right." So I hung up and I go, "Yeah, well, now I got to go." So I went and laid back down. And I think I nodded off again, because whenever she comes and she's got something, some groceries or something, she'd always honk the horn. So she pulled into the carport, and I woke up because she honked at me. And when I woke up, I heard it again, "And such were some of you." And so I went, and she goes, "Hey, we're going to church." I said, "Yeah, we're going to go. Pastor wants to talk to me." And I tell you, when I got to church, I asked Pastor, I said, "Hey, Pastor, what do you want to talk to me about?" He goes, "I don't know." Can I tell you, God knows what he's doing? I said, "What?" But I said, I better look this. I heard God say this to me twice. I said, I probably better go ahead and look it up. So now you can put on, starting at verse, I guess it's 11. No, I'm sorry. What was it? 9, starting at verse 9, it says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom of God? How many know that? That, hey man, the unrighteous won't get there. Is that right? And it says this, be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a big list, amen? And then he says this, and such were some of you. This came as revelation to me. He says, but now, but you are washed, amen? You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Can I tell you, when I saw that, when I read those words, ooh, I got up, I said, come on, come on, God. I couldn't wait to get to church to find out what Pastor had for me, but he had nothing for me. God had already given me everything I needed. Can I tell you, God knows exactly where you're at. He revealed that to you. These are new things. How many say, this was a new thing to me. I didn't understand it, but all of a sudden, I got it. My spirit, I will never forget that, because the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit writes these things on your heart. How many know that? How many of you want God to write stuff on your heart? Can I tell you, a lot of times the hardest things he writes on your heart come through some of the most difficult struggles you go through. Hallelujah. I went back to work about a week later, and it was early in the morning, and I'm walking up, and guess who pulls up next to me and starts walking with me? His name is Armando. And he's walking with me. He goes, how you doing, Henry? I said, man, I'm doing good. I mean, I'm happy. Don't care what you said. I wanted to cut you in half and leave you laying there half dead. Yeah, no, but the Spirit of the Lord just has a way of working on you. And so we're walking and he goes, hey, I need to say something to you. I said, yeah, what's up, man? He goes, I don't know why I said all that last Friday. I don't know why. He goes, but I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I said, no, Mono, no problem. It's no problem. You know, the Lord, man, he goes, yeah, I know. I get it. But then he said, you know what bothered me the most? Was when you didn't answer. That really made me feel, man, what a louse I am, you know. Isn't that crazy? Oh, I wanted to answer. I didn't tell him that. I wanted to answer, but just didn't know how. Can I tell you, it's good that sometimes we bite our lip. Is that right? It's good sometimes. How many? You know, I had a lady tell me one time, well, I just speak my mind. That's going to get you in trouble. I will tell you that. It will get you in trouble. Well, I'm just Irish. Well, it's going to get you in trouble. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to choose our words wisely. And if we listen to the Lord, God will bring these things in. It's crazy. It's pretty cool. Such were some of you. It was a mystery to me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Let's check this out. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. It says, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you what? Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Can I tell you that that's who you are? Let me just comfort you or give you some peace on this. That's who you are. He already paid for everything. He's not going to go to a cross and die again for you. He has already paid it all. Amen. When he said it's finished, it's finished. It's a done deal. He loves you. And now his Holy Spirit has been sent to show you things, to bring things that are contrary to bring them up and out of you. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. That's why the Holy Spirit is here today. He is going to build the church. He's going to strengthen the church. And it's not what we've grown up with, you know, that congregation, God has a body of Christ. It's his people. Hallelujah. Not just in this house, not just in certain churches. The Holy Spirit knows who's his. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's going to bring us together. Colossians 1:27 says this, whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of you know that Jesus is dwelling in you? How many of you are confident that he's there? Hallelujah. Oh, man. You got to know that. Can you know, confidence in who God is. I had a lady telling me something the other day, and when I was in my walk, because you guys know that I walk, that I do a lot of walking, and somebody asked me, well, why do you walk? You know, and I said, well, I walk. I will walk because God asked me to walk. And I'll walk the city, and he goes, well, are you ever going to stop? And I said, well, I'll stop when he tells me to. I've asked God, hey, God, can I stop walking now? I don't get an answer. So I think he wants me still walking. But it's important that you do what God has told you to do constantly. Is that right? When he's given you something to do, just keep doing it till he gives you something else. And do that. He told me to wash the dishes for my wife. I'm still washing dishes today. I'll get up, and it's really habit now. I wash dishes, but I'm doing what he has told me to do. I'm being faithful to what he. Can I tell you that I've had people? Oh, you can drink wine. You can have a little bottle of beer once in a while. And let me just say this to you. He took me out of alcoholism. He took me out of it. Set me on a rock. And the Word of God says that, you know, there's something about a pig running back into the mud. You return to your old way. It's like getting back in the mud, like a pig, a sow wallowing in the mud again. And I just don't want to do that. It's not making me any more holier. You guys understand what I'm saying to you? It's not making me any holier because I don't do these. It is what God has done for me. It's what he has done for me. So I will never stand up here and tell you, hey, man, you can't have a glass of beer or you can't have a wine. I will never tell you that you don't have to do that. I mean, the one to tell you that is the Holy Ghost. You should ask him, hey, Lord, can I finish this bottle of tequila tonight? He's going to tell you no. That should be the Lord. See, we got to live by the Lord. See, we got to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide our lives. Amen? We got to allow him. The Word of God says that we need to be led by the Spirit. And so be led by the Spirit. But when he tells you something, answer. Do what he tells you. I like Paul Yonggi Cho. He says, I pray and I obey. I love that. And that's what I do. I pray and I obey. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Just look at the scripture. It says, that their hearts might be comforted. Be comforted that God has done a great work for you. Be comforted in that. Be comforted in that he has placed his righteousness within you. Be comforted in that. And then he says this, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I was about to tell you about the lady that stopped me and said, hey, man, why do you do this? Why do you walk? Why do you do what you are? Folks, we have to be confident in what we're doing for the Lord. We don't need to make any apologies for what God has told us to do. Is that okay? I could say, hey, man, I'm just pastoring here until God brings the other guy, whoever that is. But I could say that. But see, the fact of the matter is God's placed me here. And I will be here till he takes me out. Amen. Sounds like one of those, I'm going to take you out, buddy. Because we do what God tells us to do. We walk in the Spirit. Amen. Walk in the Spirit according to what he has. Colossians 2:3 says this, "Be their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery." You know what that meant? That you acknowledge that Christ is in you. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Word of God says that you have been given the mind of Christ. Amen? How many say amen to that? Amen. How many of you operate like that? Come on, man. Yeah. How many want to operate in the mind of Christ. See, so now I'm going to take you right back to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Folks, it's your choice. You can walk in either one, but don't blend them. That will bring a lukewarmness to your life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is totally opposed to the law of sin and death. Can I say that to you? What God has done for you, He's given you life and life more abundant. So walk in it. Allow Him to take you where He wants you to go. Allow Him to show you the things He wants to show you. Hallelujah. I'm going to remind you of our power verse. Once again, it says this, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. See, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death, so you can walk, so you can do what God has for you to do. Amen? Don't blend them. Don't let them mix. And you're going to find this because of this sermon, because of what the Word of God is saying to you today, what God is placing in your heart, you're going to find, hey, I'm walking after the old man. I'm going back to the old man. I don't need to do that anymore. I need to continue to walk forward and not backwards. Amen? There's Christians that are walking like this all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm mad at him. Oh, yeah, I'm mad at him. I'm going to fall down before I don't. God wants us to walk forward, and He wants us to hear what He's saying to us so that we might display the glory of God in the earth. Amen? That's our purpose. That's His plan. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Do we still have musicians here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, let me just say this to you. If you want God's best in your life, just kind of put your hand up. Just say, hey, God, I want your best. And I will tell you that God sees your hand. I will say this to you, that according to what He says, hallelujah, He's given you His best. His best was Jesus, and He dwells in you. So the best has already been given to you. So walk in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me pray for you while you got your hands up. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for today. Father, I ask, Lord, that You would minister, Father God, to each and every person that's got their hand up, that You, by Your Spirit, Lord, would lead them and guide them. Show them the great things that come from You, Father. The mysteries that You have for them, Father. Show them, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming to church today. You are dismissed, and God bless you. If anybody need prayer, let us know. We'll come on up, and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.